It's good to see you all. God bless you all. It's good to be here again. I was walking in here and brought a lot of memories back. I see a few buggies tied to the tie rack, and 2006, that was me. And so it just brings a lot of memories back, precious memories. Those are a lot of good times. And so I bless you all who are seeking and you're finding the Lord. Those are precious times. But this morning I would just like to encourage you to, as Brother Cleet shared, trials will come. People lose sight of the vision. They lose sight of the goal, and that's my heart this morning here that I want to share with you to not lose vision of the Father's will. I've titled my message, Walking in the Father's Will, this morning. And, a lot of people, like that lady, that swimmer, she started out with the vision, she started out with goal, but she lost it. And we see that today also happens in the Christian, many people who started out, they lose sight of the Father's will. And they have a tendency to quit running the race. And so, with that, if you would like to stretch your legs a little, let's rise and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow our hearts here before you again this morning. We thank you and we bless you, Father. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, revealing your will to us, Father. He walked in your perfect will, and now he has given us a responsibility, and he has also given us the gift of the Holy Spirit that we may do so. And Lord, we thank you for that gift of the Holy Spirit this morning that empowers us to walk the Christian life, to walk in victory, and to walk in your will. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help me communicate your word here clearly this morning. And I pray, Lord, also just for every heart to be able to receive your word, and Lord, to have a more perfect understanding of your will, Father. Lord, we commit the remainder of this service into your hand, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, for some scripture reading, Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 35. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Thank you. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And that only happens when we walk in the Father's will. Your light's burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. And when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. There again goes with the opening. Those who are in enduring, those who are watching. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. That's being faithful throughout your Christian life until the end. It's not in the beginning, it's not in the middle, but it's in the end. He says, blessed are those who are being faithful. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Here's the results of doing the Father's will. He will make him ruler over all that he hath. Verse 45. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit such things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And so this morning here, I just want to focus on the will of our Father. This morning, many of us sitting in this room have a fairly good understanding of our Father's will. We hear a lot of good teaching on many different subjects, many different principles that are in the Scriptures. We hear about discipleship. We hear about preaching the gospel. We hear about holy living. We hear about how our marriages should function. We hear about fasting. We hear about praying, rejoicing. We hear about faith. We hear about modesty. We hear about the holy kiss, the head covering, temperance in our eating, obeying the authorities of the land, giving, having the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, having right attitudes. We hear all these things, right? We're very much aware of all these. And there's probably more doctrines, principles of the Father's will. We're aware of them all. But I'm not going to be focusing on any of those. But this morning, my focus is going to be on the importance of walking in the will of the Father. We're all aware of many of these biblical principles that are the Father's will. And so with that, that puts us in verse 47 there of what I just read. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. I don't understand all of that, but it seems that in eternity, on the day of judgment, those who knew the Father's will are going to be held to a higher standard of judgment. They're going to be held to, a lot of times as you're out witnessing people, what about those people way out in the jungles of middle of nowhere that did not hear anything about the Lord? And I always just go to verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. We are a group of people here today. I believe that there's going to be much required. We're not going to just slip by very easily. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "For our gospel came not to you in words only, but in much power and assurance, for you know what manner of men we have been among you." And so, the Apostle Paul is saying there, I didn't quite quote it right. I'm going to turn there and I'm going to read that verse because it's a powerful verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." We hear in our world today, we live among a professing Christianity where there's a lot of words. And the Apostle Paul addresses here the word only gospel. He goes on to say what gives the word power. It's those who are walking in the will of the Father. He says, "But it also came in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." I believe what the Apostle Paul is saying here, that he walked in the will of God. He lived a holy life, and that's what gave the words power. If you meet people that speak the words only gospel, you sense that there's power lacking because you know their life. You know there's not that something's amiss there. But when we walk in the will of God, and it's not just a word only gospel, that gives power behind the word. And that's what I'd just like to share this morning. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the scripture says, "And the word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Verse 14, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." See, the Word was God, but he came into this world. Jesus came into this world as his Son, and the Word became flesh. He actually fleshed it out. He lived it. It became flesh. And that's what God wants from you and I. When we walk in his will, the Word actually becomes flesh. It fleshes out into reality. It fleshes out into our lives. And it changes us into a new creature from where we were. It's who we become. It becomes flesh. This word becomes flesh in you and I. In Timothy there, it says, "Having a form of godliness, but no power, from such turn away." Having a words-only gospel has a form, but there's no power there. Having a form of godliness, but no power. Yesterday, I was talking to a brother and sister and hearing their testimony of how this power became real in their life, and that the Word is starting to become flesh, and that blesses my heart when the Word of God becomes flesh, and it becomes who we are. And that only comes by walking in the will of God. Numbers chapter 15, a couple verses here. Verses 30 and 31. "But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him." You know, we're going to see this principle throughout the New Testament here. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. When we walk not in the will of God and we do aught presumptuously, it's not going to go well the day of judgment. It's presumptuously means to be daring, shameless and irreverent daring. And we have already seen it in Luke chapter 12, verse 47 there. He that knew the Father's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. Many of us growing up were taught that the less you know about the Word of God, the less accountable you will be. How many of you remember hearing that over and over? We heard that many a times. Well, according to verse 48 there in Luke chapter 12, what I just read, ignorance is not bliss. You will still end up in the same place. It won't be pleasant. You will still end up and be beaten with stripes. Ignorance is not bliss. The Scripture says in Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be not unwise in understanding the will of the Lord. Be not unwise. So ignorance is not bliss. You will still give an account to a holy, holy God. He is holy and no sin will enter in there. Many people today have wisdom. Many people have knowledge. But understanding, it says that we should not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So many people have wisdom, many people have knowledge, but understanding is when wisdom and knowledge make the jump into our heart, from the head to the heart, and then the Word becomes flesh, and we're able to have power to walk in the will of the Father. A lot of people have wisdom and knowledge up here, but there's no power in the heart to walk in understanding. And so the Scripture says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do we really mean what we say when we say the Lord's Prayer? Not my will, but thine be done. I trust we do. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, a very familiar verse. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So many people have words, they have words only, but they're not doing the will. And if you read on there, in the next couple verses, which I'm not going to do for the sake of time, they had wisdom, they had knowledge of the Lord, but it never made that jump to understanding, where it became understanding in their heart. And so I encourage each one of us today that you would take that wisdom and knowledge you know about the Scriptures and about the will of God and truly let it become understanding in your heart, where it can become flesh and it can become who you are. An example is Moses in Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, verse 7. Here's a good example of the Scriptures that we have just been looking at. I'm going to read from verse 7 through 12. They have come out of Egypt here, and they are thirsty, and they have no water. Verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Moses here has got a little bit irritated here. And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod, and he smote the rock twice. He just boom, boom, because in a time of frustration. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. Now, I want you to look at verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. See, Moses knew the will of God here, how he was to get water. But he did it not according to the will of God. And it cost him the promised land. Because he knew the will of God and he did it not, it cost him the promised land. And God says, it's because you believe me not. See, when we don't walk in the will of God, we're simply saying, I don't believe you, God. That's what Moses did, and God tells him here, because you believe me not. See, when the word becomes flesh, when the word becomes understanding, then it is simply showing, as I'm walking in the will of God, that I believe his word. I believe everything he says is in this word. And so we look and see that Moses could not enter in because he knew the will of God and did it not. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said these words, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus' words, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. A beautiful verse. Can you say with Jesus, I'm not here today to seek mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And when we come to that place, when we're willing to not to seek our own will, then God can direct us into his will. You know, for many of us, it cost us. Once we laid down our own will, we had lots of ideas what we wanted to do. We had in life, we had lots of ideas what we even thought church life should be like. But you know, when we laid down our will, then the Lord could direct us into his will. Our heart and life needs to be not my will, but thy will, but thine. Otherwise, we won't make it if we're not walking in the will of God. I still remember one evening kneeling beside my couch on Springfield Center Road in 2004, trembling and shaking for the first time without a prayer book, just crying out to God. All I said, Lord, I will do whatever you want. And that's where my life changed. Up to that point, I had no one ever share the gospel with me. I've never heard a sermon preached, but I just came to a place where I came to the end of myself. I was tired of life, kneeling beside that couch and just simply praying that simple prayer, Lord, I will do whatever you want. I was shaking, I was scared, because I knew that the Lord, at that moment, I felt his presence. It wasn't some dramatic prayer, but it was at that moment. I didn't know where the Lord would lead me, but I am thankful today that I yielded my will there. And I gave up my will and submitted myself to him that he could lead and guide me. But that's not a one-time thing. We still need to do it. I still need to do it today after walking with the Lord for 19 years. It's still, we continually have to lay down our will. Not my will, but thine be done. It's not just a one-time thing. First John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Says these words, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Everything we see is going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This morning, as Sister Mary is on her deathbed, we can trust, because she has repented and walked in the will of God, that her soul will abide forever. Many of her works she's done aren't going to abide. Many of our works are going to burn up. But her soul, because she has walked in the will of God, will be able to abide forever. And that's where we need to walk. If you're going to operate like the world, look like the world, smell like the world, act like the world, be cool like the world, you will pass away into eternity and be beaten with many stripes because you know the will of God. The scripture here says not to love these things. They're going to pass away. But if you do the will of God, you will abide forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Moses knew the will of God in getting water and didn't get away with his disobedience. Saul, King Saul, knew the will of God when he was told to go and slay all the Amalekites, slay all the animals, kill everything. Don't bring one thing back. Don't bring any riches, gold, silver, anything back. But he brought the best back for himself. And he made excuses for it. He had many wonderful words when Samuel confronted him. They sounded beautiful. They sounded right. But he knew the will of God, and it cost him the throne. And God took it away and gave the throne to David. He told Samuel that he wanted to make an offering to God. He wanted to offer sacrifices. But did God accept it? No, because he knew the will of God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13, another very beautiful scriptures, verse 21. And 22. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David had this testimony. What kind of testimony does God have about you and I? Can God look down and say, brother so-and-so will fulfill all my will? Is God able to look down and say that about each brother and sister in here today? That you, I know that you will fulfill all my will. Throughout the scriptures, those who dared to disobey God, who dared to disobey against the will of God, it cost them. And according to Jesus Christ our Lord, it's going to cost you and I also. We are only deceiving ourselves if we think it's not going to cost us. Another example in the Old Testament is the prophet of God was sent to King Jeroboam. God told him to go and deliver the message to Jeroboam, and he should go home another way. And he should not eat or drink anything on his way until he gets back home. He was supposed to take a complete different route home. And when he got there, God worked through him in a mighty way. And then there were some people there, the sons of a prophet there, who saw him do the saw everything happen. And their father, which was a prophet, it says, of God, asked, which way did he go? And he said, saddle me the ass that I may go and tell him to, I want to bring him home to have a meal with me. And so he did it. And he persuaded him. And the prophet of God told the other man that God said, I'm not supposed to. I'm not supposed to stop until I get home. I'm not supposed to eat or drink anything. And this other prophet of God said, well, it says he lied, and he persuaded him that God told him so. See, we can trust God's word that it will not change. It's the same today, yesterday, and forever. That's why we can believe the word of God. I've sat and listened to people already who tried to persuade you many different things. A big one that I've listened to over and over is divorce and remarriage. People take the word of God, try to persuade that we are under grace and God will forgive. But no, the word of God is the same. We can trust it. We don't need to doubt it. We can walk in the will of God. We don't need to let doubts rise up. The word is forever. Thy word is forever settled in the heavens, O Lord, the psalmist says. Another place it says, there's no changing with thee. Thy word is the same today, yesterday, and forever. The word of God demands a response. Luke chapter 7. God's word wants, he wants a response from us as we understand his will. It's not just to sit there idle. It's not just to sit there and to be knowledge or wisdom, but it's to become flesh. It demands a response. Luke 7, verse 31. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? To what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace, calling one to another, saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. And so, I liken this scripture. How many of you have ever been places and you see this guy trying to imitate, he has a hat or something out in front of him, and he's trying to get a response from people that they throw some money into the hat. I've seen different people as I've been out and about. I've seen guys pretending to be a football player. They're all covered like in gold. I've seen people singing. They're trying to get people to respond by throwing money into their hat. They're trying to get, and that's what I liken this scripture to. They are, Jesus says, what shall I liken the men of this generation to? And what are they like? He says, they are like unto children sitting in marketplace, calling one to another, saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. See, they weren't getting a response with their actions, what they were doing. And God is wanting action from us. He wants us to walk in his will. And so it needs a right kind of response. Romans chapter 2, a powerful passage on walking in the will of God. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. We hear that a lot. A lot of people like to boast their knowledge, their wisdom of God. And look at verse 18. And knowest His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. They're confident that they are able to lead people into Christ. They're confident that they are God's people. Verse 20, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Now look at verse 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. So here, the Apostle Paul is addressing people in the Roman church here, that they are saying that they know the will of God, but yet they're not walking in it. And he says through that, the name of God is blasphemed among the world. The name of God is blasphemed, he said, because you claim to know the will of God, and yet you're not walking in it. So the Word of God demands a right response. It says, and knowest His will. This verse describes the majority of professing Christianity today in the world we live in. And in verse 16, it basically is saying that they're not going to, you won't get by with it. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And we read there in Luke chapter 12, verse 47, that they will be beaten with many stripes. And so, I just want to encourage you today, be serious about walking in the will of the Father. They were teaching others things they themselves weren't practicing. They knew the will of God and teaching it. But on the judgment day, God is warning them, it's not going to fly under the radar. I will judge the secrets of your hearts. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. 23 verse 2. You know what, in the last couple years, what really stood out to me, a lot of people like to think while you're, because you focus a lot on obedience and things, you're just, you're making hypocrites and Pharisees out of people. But what really stood out to me recently is here in verse 2, I'll start in verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you, observe. That observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. And so making a Pharisee is someone who, a lot of people who are big in promoting the idea you're making hypocrites and Pharisees and things out of people by walking in the will of God and by doing these things. Actually, the ones who are, according to this scripture, that are the hypocrites and Pharisees are the ones who preach it and teach it and have all the flowery words, but yet they walk not in it. It's not those who are walking in the will of God. It's not those who are lifting up the will of the Father and walking in it. John chapter 7, verse 16 through 18. John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. That is our safety net. As we walk in the will of God, that keeps us from false doctrine. That keeps us from falling away as we walk in the will of God. If we start veering off to the right or the left, the Holy Spirit is no longer there. In Acts it says he gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. And so as we walk in the will of God, it's our safety net. It says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And so that's our safety net. Jesus walked in the will of the Father, and God shouted down from heaven, "This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Benefit of walking in the will of the Father is answered prayers. John 9:31. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." Another passage in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. I just love this passage. Paul writes this about Epaphras. He was a prayer warrior. It says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Epaphras here, he was a prayer warrior, and this was his burden. He understood these passages I'm sharing here today throughout the Scriptures, that you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Did he say, I want you to notice here, in all the will. He didn't just say some, but complete, perfect, in all the will of God. It doesn't say some, it says all. We are surrounded with professing Christianity today that downplays the will of God, and many of those principles I read off in the beginning of the message. We're under grace. God's grace will cover that. And if you talk about walking in the will, a lot of them accuse you of being under the law. But Epaphras understood all the passages I just read here. Matthew 7:21, Romans chapter 2. 1 John 2, "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Who wants to abide forever? Who wants to abide forever? A few of you, not all. You know, we want to abide forever. Paul, where did Epaphras get his burden? I believe he got it from Paul. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. Paul had a burden for the Colossian church here. And I'm going to read verse 4 through 11. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so Paul here is saying, I do not cease to pray for you as a church. And he has Epaphras here to help them. Epaphras picked up the Apostle Paul's burden that they would know the will of God. And he says, his burden is that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. First, we need to know the knowledge of his will, and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It needs to become understanding. For an example, I do some remodeling. The first thing I do is I meet with the customer and I find out the knowledge of their will. I find it out. I take notes, make sure that I'm getting everything down what they want. Many of you are familiar with that, right? And then I proceed. It's not going to work for me to go into that remodel job after I have knowledge of his of that customer's will to try to now just proceed with my own will. It'll never work. We understand that. You will have one unhappy customer and you'll probably end up losing money. You'll probably end up in the hole on that job. I'm not living there and they want it done their way. And too often people forget that God lives in our hearts and he wants us, our soul and our lives to function in a certain way. Somehow people get the attitude that God is somehow going to overlook me not walking in his will. And it's not going to work on the day of judgment. Because the scripture there says in Luke chapter 12, verse 47, he that the servant that knew my will and walked not in my will shall be beaten with many stripes. There is no excuse for not knowing the will of God for us. He has clearly made it known to us. We have an example of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 22. God, in his mercy, I believe, gives every human being a chance and an opportunity. He says that every mouth will be stopped and the whole world will become guilty before him. Acts 22:12. This is the Apostle Paul sharing his testimony. And he says in 1, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. God chose Paul that he should know his will. But he also wants you and I to know, have knowledge of his will. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 9. The Apostle Paul, God revealed himself to him and made known his will. And I'll just back up here and start reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. God has made known his will to all of us. There's no one excused. It says he has made known us. He has made known unto us the mystery of his will. What is the mystery of that will? Colossians chapter 1 says that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. God has revealed it to his children. And so I praise the Lord for that. We have the knowledge of his will here right in our hands. And there's going to be much required of us. We have it all right before us. God so loved you and I that he gave us. I often tell, especially as I witness to young students, I often tell them if the teacher would come on the morning of exam and say, I'm going to be nice to you today, and I'm going to write all the answers on the blackboard that you can ace the test. Now you have an opportunity to believe the teacher and ace the test. Well, God in his mercy has given us all the answers. They're right here. He has made known his will that you and I can ace the test, that there's no stripes have to be applied on the day of judgment. The answers are here. You know, Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon you. God has made in his mercy. God so loved us that he made known his will to all mankind that there's no excuse. Ephesians 6, 6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. I have children. Many of you have children. We can tell when our children are obeying from the heart, and we can tell when they are not. If they're obeying from the heart, they just immediately run and the job is done. If they're not obeying from the heart, sometimes a job takes a long time. And you have to keep prodding. But not with eye service as men pleasers. There's joy in walking in the will of God. There's joy in fulfilling the will of God. So I have a couple more verses here in closing here. It's Ephesians 5, 17 again says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. 1 John 2, 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Hebrews 10, I'd like for you to turn here, if you'd like. Hebrews 10, 36. Some powerful verses. I'll start at verse 35. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. There again, it goes well with the opening, enduring, which hath great recompense of reward. Next verse is the one I wanted. That also goes with enduring. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come and will not tarry. See, God knows there's times, as Brother Cleet shared, we go through fog, but he encourages us, even after we have done the will, and then that fog envelops us, he wants to encourage us, keep pressing on. Don't stop. Keep on. He says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. There needs continued patience and continue walking. And the last two verses in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. I'll let you with these two verses, powerful verses. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through Him that I am able to walk in His will. He gives us the power. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But notice, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. So, just wanted to encourage you today to be sensitive to the will of the Father, because he that refuses to the servant who knows the will and walks not in it shall be beaten with many stripes. I don't know what that all means, but I don't want to find out. So, God bless you all.